This year is sponsored by the Pekar's family. Leila Nishmas, Leia Devar Bas Chaim, whose yahrzeit was today. She's chus for the entire Mishpacha, learning and preparation. Little Peter on Shabbos, Shavuos chus. Okay, so we've been talking about, you really have to go step by step like we've been doing it. We spoke about the issues with banks, corporations the last couple of weeks. Now we're going to talk about whenever you borrow money, sometimes there are expenses associated with a loan. Sometimes it costs money for the lender to give you the loan. Like a common example might be that he has to go to an ATM machine and make a withdrawal, and it's not your ATM, so it's going to be a $2 fee. So can you say, look, I'll take $100 for you, but it's going to cost me $2, I want $102 back. Once again, with this Chosh HaMishal, it's being yield $2, but in Yeridaya, we're talking in Hilchos Ribbis, it's an Yisr Daraisa, possibly. So that's a one case. It's costing me a couple dollars, or I write a check, and the checks cost money to make such a, you know, one of these things that come from the companies, the banks, and when you write the check, it's a $40 fee for the check you write. So those types of fees, or sometimes there are damages. Like you might get a check paid back to you. He gives you a check to repay you, and it bounces, and your bank charges for balanced checks. So can you tell him, okay, I want another check for $100 plus the $25 that they billed me. So you gave him $100. He received $100, and he's paying $125 in return. So what are the rules of when you can charge the borrower for these expenses or damages, and when is it wrong to do it? When is it a problem of ribbis? That's the topic tonight. So fortunately, we do have a proof that it's okay to collect expenses. We have two issues. The first is expenses, the second is damages. So the first half we'll talk about is expenses, the first two-thirds we'll talk about expenses, the last third we'll talk about damages. Divide it like that. I don't know how we count the first 5 minutes, but okay, so it's a Beferish Mishnah. The post can bring down this Mishnah in Bava Basra. The halacha is like this: Kosher and Shtar Lelova. We had this in the beginning of this series, so in Halvah, you're allowed to write a Shtar for the Lelova, like we learned that there's a halacha. When you lend money, you're supposed to have a Shtar. So the halacha, the Mishnah says, you're a Lelova, a borrower, can go to a scribe and say, write me a loan document, even though the lender is not there. Because, if he's asking to write it, there's nothing to worry about. But if the lender says, look, I'm going to lend him money next week, you go to a scribe, write a star that Reuven owes me $1 million. If Reuven's not there, you can't do that. And the Mishnah concludes by the borrower, or who pays for the scribe? The borrower pays for the scribe. In fact, the Gemara, Pshita, what's that? What do you have to tell me, the borrower? Of course, he's the one that wants to borrow the money. He's the one that needs the loan. I'm not getting anywhere. There's no ribbis here. I don't get anything from lending the money. It's the borrower that wants the loan. Of course, he's the one that should have to pay to get the loan going. And for the Gemara, Lo Tzricha B'Iska, it's talking about a special case where it wasn't completely loan, it was going to be a business deal, so that's not Nogeyas. But just from the Mishnah and the Gemara's Kasha, we see that it's clear that if there are any expenses associated with the loan, the borrower can pay them, and in this case has to pay them. And there's no problem with ribbis. Right? That's the raya the post can bring, that it's okay to charge for your expenses. Right? We see over here, the borrower is paying for the loan document. Without the loan document, it wouldn't be a loan, because the lender halachically shouldn't and certainly doesn't want to lend the money without some documentation. And we don't tell him, well, look, this is for your safety, so why should I pay for your safety? It's like I'm giving you a present, you're lending me $1,000, and I'm giving you back $1,000 plus that peace of mind. I'm paying for that $10 peace of mind to get it notarized, whatever you need to do. Right, the postman says it's not only to have a star, but to make sure the star is valid. You need to buy some stamps to validate it, to notarize it, whatever you need. The logo does not say that. Why? Because this is part of the loan. Even though it's in my interest that I should have a document to be able to collect with and have that safety and peace of mind, and if there be an insurance, you know, it's in my interest. But that's a bit more tease, but it's for my good to have that peace of mind, to have that shtar. But you want the loan, and I don't have to lose money to do a favor to you. I'm doing you a favor, lending you money. It doesn't have to cost me anything. That's what we see from this halacha. Okay, so let's go to some applications of how far this goes. How far can we take this? How far can we take this little loophole we have over here to charge the borrower extra expenses? That's what we have. We have a little loophole here. How far can we go? So the Bris Yehuda says, is mostly going to be from contemporary poskim. Bris Yehuda and others. He gives another example. He says, sometimes it could be that the money is in a different town. I have my money somewhere else. And for me to go there, it's going to cost me money to take a train to go get them, to get that money. You want cash? I have cash over there. That's where I store my cash. It's going to cost money. So I can charge you for that money to get the cash. And then he brings also this case of if there's a service charge, I go to the bank, and it's a service charge to take out, especially if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you want to borrow dollars, and there's a service charge. Or it's like we said, ATM fee, the different fees, all these different things that are costing money to make the loan, that certainly is included in this heter. Whereas for me to get the money, it cost me money to get that money I'm lending you. So whatever it costs me to get you that money, that's certainly included in this heter. I can charge you for those expenses. Now, you have to be careful, you have to be honest with yourself, because suppose you had gone to the ATM already and you spent the $2 to get the $100 out, and you ended up you didn't need it. Right? You didn't end up buying the thing you needed the cash for. And that same day someone comes over to you and says, can you lend me $100? You need $100 cash. So you say, oh sure, here it is. But you know, it cost me $2 to take it out, I'd like $102. Right? So that's ribbis. That's could be the raisa. That's I'm giving you $100 and I want $102 back. It cost me $2 to take it out, but I wasn't spending the money for you. I was spending the money thinking I was going to use it. So afterwards, it ends up I don't need the money. So that's my loss right now. I wasted $2 taking out that $100. The $100 I'll use eventually, but I wasted that $2 is gone. Now you're coming to borrow $100. I'm trying to take advantage of you to charge you interest to pay for my mistake that I took out the money, or not my mistake, my bad luck that I took it out and I ended up not needing it. So that is something I can't pass on to you because that was after the fact. That's clear that if you already had the money, you already made that trip and got that suitcase full of cash that somehow you had gotten and as we didn't need it, so you can't charge him $75 for the train ticket. You have to swallow that yourself, and you didn't end up using it. And now he wants to borrow money. If you're lending it to him, you can't charge him for that cost that you had. The shaila he has, the Bishyud has a shaila. Suppose you're honest, and look, I'll lend you $100. Let's go to the ATM. While I'm there, I could also use $100, and they charge $2 for the transaction fee. Can we say let's split the fee? We're taking $200 out, and it's a $2 fee. Well, it's not a percent, it's the same flat $2. And look, you know, it's costing me money to take it out, so let's split the fee. So he has a shyly, he doesn't have any clear answer to that, because you can hear both sides of it. On one hand, you could say, look, you want $100 now also. If you took the $100 out, you'd have to pay the full two. So why should you pass it on to him? On the other hand, it could be you wouldn't go if not for him once we're going together. So that's why I'm deciding to do it. So it's because of you I'm deciding to do it. I won't charge you the whole amount, but at least let's split it. Anyway, he has a suffix. So yeah, for the suffix, the raisa pays probably not to do it, not to charge him. Another common, maybe nowadays, these years, not so common, but it used to be common that people have a CD and there's a penalty for an early withdrawal. Right? You have a $1,000 CD. And when it matures, you'll get $1,300. If you take it out early, there's a penalty. And you don't get the interest. You might even lose some of the principal. So how about there? Can you... And the person needs the money now. So, okay, look, I'll close my CD. You need the money. I'll give it to you. But I want you to pay me the penalty. Right? I'm losing I'm losing this. That's the expense of taking out this money.
Are you talking in a case where he has other money to go to, or this is the only...
This is the money he wants to use. He wouldn't do it otherwise. Why, you know, if he has other money, why would he, you know, ruin himself? Why should he do that? So assuming this is the money he has available. There's nothing else that he has liquid. So, there I saw this Mishnah Sridis. He wants to say that it depends what exactly the penalty is. I put $1,000 in, I'm supposed to be getting $1,300. So if the penalty is going to mean that I'm going to end up with less than $1,000, I'm going to end up with $950 because of the penalty, so then I certainly can charge him that $50 because it cost me money. If I left it in, I would have gotten the whole full return at the end. I put in $1,000, I'm ending up with $950 because I'm doing you a favor, I can charge you that $50. But if I am just going to get $1,100 at the end of it instead of $1,300, I'm not going to get my full interest. So there he says, that's, you're just preventing me from making interest. That's not something that's not a cost to me. It's just that because I take it early, I'm not going to get that interest that I would normally have gotten. So in that case, I can't pass on that loss to the borrower. Now, it could be that there's a difference in how the CDs are calculated. If the CD is one where they give the interest every month and they put that interest into your account and now it's like your money, so then suppose right now you have $1,200 worth, and if you wait another 3 months, you'll get the full $1,300. So right now you have $1,200. If you take it out early, they're going to only give you $1,100. So if that $1,200 is already credited to your account, so then someone would say that maybe you can bill him for that. That's called a loss. The others say, even though it might be credit to your account, but if you can't use it yet, it's like semantics. If money that you can't use isn't your money. So that's a shayla there also. So pashtus, if you're closing a CD, for sure, if you're going to end up with less than money you put into that, you can pass on to the borrower. If you're going to end up with your full amount, it's just you might lose interest, so then in most cases you will not be able to pass that on. If it's a certain type of CD where you already had the money, so then you could. There are some types of savings where you have it credited to you as it goes along. The same thing will be with the IRAs. These types of investments where you're going to take a loss for the early withdrawal, so that you can pass on to the borrower if it's going to take away from money you already had. Now that's all talking about expenses to make the loan. The expenses to take the money out from the ATM, the expenses that it costs to close the CD, the expenses it takes to travel to get the money.
Western Union.
To wire money, that certainly wouldn't be included. This hetero though extends even further, right? That's all like we learned. That's like writing the shtar. To make the loan, you need to have a shtar, right? The document, the notarizing, the stamps, whatever you need to make, to hire witnesses that they should see, whatever it needs. Now the same thing applies to make the payment. If there are any expenses from the payment, to make the payment, that also you could pass on to the borrower. For example, if he doesn't pay in time, and you're calling him up, and you're sending him certified letters, you know, I need the money, and you have to eventually take him to a bezdin, and that costs money. Any expenses that you have to spend to get your payment, so that's something also that is included in this hetter, right? That's not ribbis. I lent you $1,000. You gave me back $1,000. Now I had to spend $200 to get the money back from you. So that won't be ribbis for if you pay that back to me. Yeah, we have to be careful here. We're not talking choshen mishpat. It could be that I'm not allowed to charge you as choshen mishpat, right? It could be that I spent the money wrongly. I didn't have to. That you'd have to go to a din Torah for. Right? If I wasn't allowed to give that money to you, I shouldn't have spent that money. Maybe I went over what I spent. $5,000 to collect the $1,000. So I don't think I could charge you for that. But if I spent that money, ribbis would not be an issue, most probably in that case. Right, that's the examples I give is sending letters. Now, extending this one step further, you know, the different loan societies, gemachs, where people set up a whole bureaucracy to lend out money for free. Right, they have loan societies, and it costs money. Sometimes they rent a whole office sometimes they certainly have bank expenses, they have stationery expenses, stamps they have to buy. Could be to hire a secretary to take care of it, an administrator. Right, there are a lot of expenses to run this free loan society, to run this gemach. So how about those charges? Can you pass those charges upon to the borrower? And they could be considerable because, you know, I'm paying a salary to run this. Where I get the money from? I collect money from the different people that want to help out. You have to have this mitzvah. But can I pass on some of the expenses? Can I pass on some of the expenses to the borrower? And that's a shayla, an old shayla, a relatively old shayla. The Maharam Shif addressed the shayla 150 years ago or so, and he paskins that since these expenses, he was talking really about the bank shayla that we spoke about last couple of weeks, but one of the things he said was that since the real expenses in running such a gemach or a bank, you gotta need furniture, you need employees, so there's no problem if you charge the borrower those expenses. It costs you a certain amount of money, so there's nothing wrong if you charge them to compensate you for that loss. Just like he brings the raya, just like I can charge you to the cost of writing the shtar, I could also charge you the expenses in running this operation that you should have your loan. Diane Weissman in Chas Yitzchok seconds this halacha. He paskins that it's mutter. He said at worst it would be avak mitzvah, it'll be the rabbanan, and since it's not the mitzvah, you can certainly charge. Now the question is, there's two questions. The first question is how to charge, and the second is how far this goes. Now there are two ways you could charge. One way to charge would be to say, let's say it costs $20,000, we'll go by monthly cost, say $2,000 a month to run it. The salary, the rental, the leasing, the office, stationery, it costs $2,000 a month. And I assume that I make $2,000 of loans a month. That's how much money I have. And I make $2,000 of loans every month. And I lend out $20,000 of loans every month, and it costs me $2,000. That would be a bad business. So. Yeah, I have $20,000 in loans I make every month. It costs me $2,000 to run the business, $200,000 of loans, and it costs me $2,000 to run it. So I could say like this: each, let's say $200,000, each dollar that I lend out has a 1% cost to it, because for each $200,000, it costs me $20,000 if I lend all out $200,000. So what I'll do is like this: this person comes and borrows $40,000, I'll charge him $40 service charge. This one that comes and borrows $1,000, I'll charge him $10, but I'll prorate it, you know, 1% surcharge on the loan to pay for the expenses, which come out to 1% every month. Another way to do it would be to say, just a flat fee. Look, it costs $2,000. I make around 100 loans a month of different amounts. So I'll just charge everyone $20, and that'll make up the $2,000 expenses that I have. So those are the two possibilities. So this Yehuda once again talks about the best way of doing it. And he says that if you do it percentage-wise, that already starts looking like ribbis. That looks like Rivas already. Technically, it might not be so, but he brings down from Rivas Zalman Meltzer when he would borrow money for his yeshiva, the Chaim Yeshiva. This is his, what he heard. He wouldn't sign on any gemach where there would be a service charge based on a certain percent. Because that looks like Rivas already. I'm borrowing $1,000, and I'm giving you back $1,000 plus 10. That looks like, and then tomorrow when I borrow $2,000, it's going to be $20,000. That looks like grievous already. He wouldn't do that. So he holds it's much better to do it the way of saying a flat service charge, $20, and so no matter what the loan is, and that way you don't look like grievous. He holds that's better. Technically speaking, the Maharam Shik said they're both mutter. But he said that this story from Mr. Zalman, he says it's better not to do the percentage-wise. It's better to have a flat fee per loan. Now you have to make sure that you don't go over, but you can't make a profit over here. Like if you charge $20 for loan and its expenses are $2,000 and you make a lot of loans and it becomes $2,500, so you're taking ribbons then. You have to be honest with yourself and be careful, because your person, right? Let's not get distracted by the bureaucracy, right? You think it's bureaucracy, but you're a person that has all this money, or you got it from other people. You're someone who's lending out this money. You hired someone to take care of the expenses for you, and you have to be careful not to charge the borrowers more than your expenses, because then you're going to be taking risks. You have to be very careful to make sure that it's really honestly this is what it costs, and it doesn't go over. It could be that, I don't know, to do it per month, per year, but to get to a certain point where you're saying, is this working out right? And then, give out the loans for free. It's a chiddush here, because, it's really a chiddush, because how do you, and this is this leap that we took over here, because, I'll say, okay, well, I already spent the $2,000 this month. I already received $2,000 of surcharges this month, and I have another week to go, and it's only going to cost me $2,000, so the next week I'm not going to charge anything for the loans. Why does that work? The first ones I took extra from and I didn't really need it, and these I'm giving it for free. It's a chiddush that we're saying that we could look at the whole business as a whole and say I could charge it to recover my expenses. So that's one factor in this gemach. How to charge, it's preferable not to charge percentage-wise. It's better to charge as a flat fee. This is what we charge for every loan that you take out. The poskim also say to be careful in the Siva Shalom, this other new sefer I have. He says you have to be careful, be honest with yourself, what you're buying here. He said, if you want to have a big bureaucracy over here and hire 10 people to take care of the loans to support, your family or other people, right? That's not legitimate cost. You can get away with one person. You can't hire 10 people. Or this person is working in the office, you'll pay them $500,000 a year salary because they do such a good job. But you have to also be honest with yourself and not overpay what they're really worth. Or, and this might be a little even scarier, the type of furniture you buy, you have to make sure that you're not spending too much on too fancy furniture or too fancy a place. You decide that you want to rent a place in Manhattan to run your gemach when you could have done it in Far Rockaway. So you have to take it out to Manhattan, and so you have to be careful that you're not overpaying the true expenses.
And that means you overpaid for
real estate. Yeah, but it's your money. I have $1 million I'm lending out to people, and I want to do a chesed, and I decided that my office is in Manhattan. So I made a bad decision, right? But I have no right to charge you for that. To run the society I didn't need to have in Manhattan, I could have done it where I live. And so anyway, that's one issue. That they say clearly, you can't have illegitimate expenses. Ritz Yehuda does have a shaila how far that goes. But suppose you want to buy nice forms for convenience of the workers. You want to have, this computer thing's program. Already printed out, huh?
Computer program.
A computer program. Or you want to advertise that in the Jewish Observer that you have a certain gemach. Now, you can run the gemach without that. And you're going to have someone just write it by hand. So, you want to buy rubber stamps to make the deposits into the bank instead of writing it by hand. So he has a shiloh if you're doing certain things for convenience. So I think the halacha should depend on what you would do normally. What's normal, you could also do without renting a place, also use it from your living room and have everyone tramping through your house all the time, but that's not normal. You're allowed to have a special office to have this gemach. So whatever is normal will be okay. If you go beyond the normal, that's not okay, and there's always going to be this gray area where it's worthwhile to to think it through. Or do you really need that? Do you really need that item? I saw in the new volume, the new edition of the Ritz Yehuda, he wants to say that even though you might not technically need to that advertisement, or you might not need those fancy forms, but if you look more professional, it's a better way to raise money, and that does become a need of the gemach, because you want to look professional, you want to look good, that you can have more money in, so you can do more chesed. So that's a little bit of a leeway over there. So once again, we are extending this heter of expenses to, even though it's not a one-on-one loan, to it cost me $2 to take ITM, I'm passing it on to you. It's that I have this big business that cost me $2,000 a month to run it, so I can pass it on to the different borrowers, preferably through a flat rate. that will cover the expenses. What are the expenses? They have to be legitimate, things I really need, and make sure that the income from the service charges don't become greater than the expenses, because then you can derivatives. So that's the first part of legitimate expenses that I can collect. Now, the second part, we talked about damages. There are certain damages that I have. Do I have any precedent, do I have any proof that I can collect damages that come about through this loan? So once again, there's a proof that this also, this is from Bamatsiya, Yadalad Amadeis, it's actually Machlokis. Itmar, the Gemara has a case like this, Hamokha Sadal Chaveiro. If someone sells a field to his friend, the Nimse Shaina Shalau, and this, the Reuben sold the field to Shimon, Shimon is living and using the field, and all of a sudden the owner of the field comes and says, you know, Reuben didn't really own that field, he sold you my field, and I want my field back, plus I want, you spend money on it, I'm not certainly going to pay you, I want my field back with all whatever it's like right now. Now, Shimon, who bought the field, who bought this Brooklyn Bridge from Reuven, wants to get his money back, which certainly he can, but he also wants to get back the improvements he made on the field. He put money into the field, he thought it was his, he fixed certain things up, he made it worth more money, he wants to retrieve some of the expenses that he paid. So Rav says, that's certainly okay. Yesh Lamos, he's allowed to get his money back. Yesh Lashvach, he's allowed to get compensated for whatever improvements he put into that field also that now he can't enjoy. But Shmuel says, Mos Yesh Lo, you're allowed to take the money, but Shvach Ain Lo, but you're not allowed to take, your payment price, the purchase price you can take back, but you can't take compensation for your improvements. The Gemara explains, why does Shmuel say you're not allowed to take back the improvements? It seems like a natural thing. Itmar Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, why is that? Mos Yeshel, you're allowed to take the money, but Shvach Eino, you can't take the money for the improvements. You can take the purchase price, but not the improvements. Because Afa Pisha Pirish Lo Es HaShvach, even if the seller had said, I'll pay you for any improvements you put in, you still can't take it. My time, what's the reason? Came into Karka Einlo, since it's not his land, Skarma Osav Omeven Notel, it looks like ribbis. Because what really happened over here, Reuven sold something that wasn't his to Shimon. Shimon gave $1,000, $10,000 to Reuven for something that wasn't there. So it's like a loan. It looks like a loan. I'm lending you this $100,000, $10,000, whatever it is, for something I don't receive anything in return for. So it's like it made a loan. So okay, so now we finally find your swindle over here, and you're going to give him back the $1,000, $10,000 I paid for it. But if you pay me back extra, it looks like ribbis. So that's why Shmuel says it's usher. So that's bad news. But Rav, the good news is Rav said that it's okay. And based on that, we have a psak by the Ramon in Yoredeya. Mishehishkin ba'yisheina shalo. It's a similar case. Someone gave a house that wasn't his as a security, and the lender was using that house, deducting the monthly rent from the final purchase price, so that shouldn't be ribbis. But then then the real owner of the house went and took the house away from the lender because the borrower had given the key to someone else's house. Now he had to pay the full rental value to this person who said, look, I always rent this house out, I want full price for it. The borrower has to return that extra money to the lender, and also that pay, besides the money for the loan, he also has to pay the money that the lender put out to get the owner of the house off his back. So the contemporary post can bring a riot from this case that where this wasn't an expense, this was a damage. You caused me a damage. This loan caused me a damage. The case of the Gemara, I had to pay to get these people off of my back here. I had to pay their rent. I was living in their house illegally because you made this swindle on me. You tried cheating me. So based on that, we have other examples of where damages occur that you can pass on to the borrower. And the first example, like we said in the beginning, that if he gives me a check, the borrower gives me a check that bounces, and the bank charges me $25 for the return check, so I can certainly go to the government and say, give me the $1,000 you owe me plus the $25 that you have to pay me for that bounced check. It was a hazard. You caused me a damage. Now, what happens if, because I had this bounced check, then I wrote other checks before I knew that it bounced, and I wrote 10 other checks for $100 each, and they all bounced to $25 each. Can I say, look, you caused me that damage? And here also, we have to see, understand there's two issues. There's first the Choshen Mishpat issue. Can I really charge you? Is this called a hezik? Is this called a damage? Or is it just a grama? Is it just causative damage where I can't really charge you? Because, you know, I didn't tell you to write 100 checks based on this check I gave you. You decided to do that on your own. So I caused you the damage, but it's not really direct here. Maybe it's called garmi. There's different ways of looking at that. So that's one issue that we're not going to talk about. That's in Choshen Mishpat, in Halachos of Hezek, and we did that 5 years ago. We could review that maybe sometime in the future, but that's a different issue. The question though is, now if I can charge you for it, certainly for the first check I can charge you. You caused me this damage, you gave me a check and it's not good, I can charge $25, and there's no ribis issue. The question is, suppose I can't really charge you as a Hezek, but you did cause me this problem. You did cause me this problem. So there the poskim aren't so sure if I can pass on that charge, and that might end up being ribis already. So that might be a problem. The first thing that it's a real hazard, that for sure you can pay, there's no ribis issue. If it's something that is not clear that I can charge you for, so then you want to be a nice time pay anyway, that could be ribis. You have to be careful. Another example where for sure I can bill you is that I lent you this $10,000 and I said, but I need it back in a month because I need to make a down payment, and if I don't have it, I'm going to lose my security deposit. It's going to cost me, you know, $1,000 I put as a security deposit. And sure enough, he doesn't give it back. That month he's late with the payment, and you ended up with $1,000. You had to lose your house that you were buying. You lost a security deposit. So they're also in the Tzipa Shalom says that's certainly an example of a damage. That caused me a damage. It caused me, as I told you, I need it back in a month. I don't even have to tell you the reason. But because you didn't give it, I have a penalty that I had, a late penalty for, I had to pay some bills, and because I didn't have the money, I had to pay a late penalty, or I lost my deposit because I didn't have the money here. You caused me that damage, so that's certainly something that I can charge you. Now here though, everyone says you have to be careful. We're only talking about real damages. We're talking about these cases where there was a return fee, I lost a deposit, I lost real money, I had to pay a penalty because I didn't have the money that you were supposed to give back to me. But suppose I say, you know, I need this money in a month. And what happened was, at the end of the month, I had an opportunity to buy a stock. The stock went down, and I knew I was once going to buy it, but I didn't have the money here. And when you gave me back the money a week late, the stock had gone up around a triple. And I say, look, I was going to buy that stock. I have it in writing. I was going to buy the stock, and I called you and said, I need to buy the stock, and you didn't give me the money. So I want compensation for the money that I lost. Right? I'm not lying. I told you this. You have the message on your machine. I need the, here it is. It's Monday night. I need the money. The stock's opening tomorrow, and I need to buy it. And you answer me 2 days later, and it's already tripled. So that's not a hazard. I didn't lose anything. I have as much money as I had now before. What I lost was an opportunity to make a profit. So there the post can clearly say that opportunity to make a profit, that's what ribis is all about. The whole issue of ribis, the whole prohibition of lending with interest is that, look, why do I want to lend with interest? Because if I had the money, I could make different deals all along. And by giving you the money, I don't have use of the money, my money in the meantime. So just like I rent out my lawnmower that I can't use now, I'm giving it to you to use, I also want to rent out my money. And that's the term said, you're not allowed to do. Money is not a commodity that you could just rent out and say, look, I lost use of it in the meantime, I want you to pay me for it. That's ribis d'oraisa. So that's exactly this case. You thought that you could make this big deal, and it's true that you could have, but that's the rules of ribis. I can't charge you for the missed opportunity that I could have made a profit. I could charge you for a real damage. I had to pay money to protect myself for whatever it was because I didn't have this money. I could charge you for the expenses that occurred because of the loan, the ATM fee, the lawyer that I had charged to get the money from you because you didn't pay in time, the gemach, the office furniture I need, the things I need to run my business. That I could charge you. But I can't charge you because you failed to allow me to make a profit. Now, the Mishnah service has an interesting, this is the last thing I want to say. He has an interesting way out, because first you do feel guilty, you borrowed the money, and you feel bad you didn't give it back in time. He could have tripled his money, he lost $5,000, he was going to put it in that stock, and it doubled and tripled, and you feel bad about it now. And you are allowed to give it back. Look, I feel bad, I want to give you the $5,000, it's a present. That's ribbis. You can't do that. And certainly there's no hezek. You can't take good in Torah for that. That's, for sure. But I feel bad. I want to give you the money that you could have made. So you're not allowed to do that. But if you recall, we started with the rules of ribbis mucheres and ribbis mukdemes. There's money that you want to give before a loan, money you want to give after a loan. And we said that's aser midrabban. You're not allowed to give even ribbis after the loan is paid. However, if you remember that we have a flow chart that there's certain ways that you can do that. And number one is if it's not a large amount, if it's a relatively small amount that, people give as presents, you're allowed to give a present to the person as long as you don't tell him it has anything to do with the loan. You can't even wink at him. You can know yourself. We said we passed like the Ramah, that you can know that you're doing it because he lost that opportunity, because you were late. You can know that's why you're doing it. But as long as it's not a gigantic present, and as long as you don't say it's for the loan, you're allowed to give it to him as a present. So you feel bad, and he'll now get this present. He might put two and two together. I mean, he probably will. But you haven't done any Isra Ribbis. That's an Eitza that the Mishnah Ribbis gives over here. That whenever you feel bad, you borrowed the money, and you're not allowed to pay because there's a Ribbis issue over here. So what you could do is give him a small present, and then you'll be okay. Now, suppose you want to give him a big present, it was a big loss he had, so then we have another Eitza, because when we learned the rules of Ribbis Mucheres, the late Ribbis, we learned that if you wait, it's a long time after the loan, we said, what's a long time? Some said 2 weeks, okay, it might be a year, whatever relatively long time is. If it was a long time after the loan, then you can even give him a big present, a relatively big present. Normally you can't, because it looks like I'm telling you it's for the loan, and that you're not allowed to do. But if it's already a year later, or it's months later, so then I could even give you a big present. So, once again, we're always talking to nice people. We're not talking about people that want to get out of things. So, certainly get out of it. You can get out of it. I didn't give you the money back. It's only a grum. I didn't cause you any loss. And I'm not even allowed to give you the money because it's ribbis. So, if you really want to be a mensch, you want to be nice. So, you do have this option to give a present afterwards, as long as it's small, as long as you don't say it's specifically for the ribbis, and through that you will make peace with yourself and maybe peace with your former friend.